I want to thank Brother Jim for leading that song before our lesson this morning, and we're going to be taking a look at the lyrics of that song, Let Me Live Close to Thee. It is certainly a biblical thought and concept that we ought to live close to the Lord. And we're going to be taking our text from James chapter 4 and verse 8 this morning, which says, Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That is the idea that we're going to be focusing on as we think about this song, Let Me Live Close to Thee. The song was written by J.R. Baxter Jr. and the music by Virgil O. Stamps in 1927. It's one of those Stamps Baxter songs that became so popular in the 1950s. These two wrote a number of songs together, and this particular song is emphasizing having a close relationship with God. And that is, of course, reflected in the title, Let Me Live Close to Thee. It is a prayer song. You know, a lot of our songs are prayers, where we are singing a prayer to God. And this particular song is singing a prayer to God. And as we think about the lyrics of this song, I hope that we can think about drawing closer to God and thinking about how we can be nearer to the Lord in our life. Well, the three stanzas of this song sort of emphasize three things. First of all, in order to live close to God, we've got to fight the good fight of the faith. And that's reflected in the first stanza. Secondly, we've got to do the Lord's work in humility. And we'll see that in the second stanza. And third, to live close to God, we've got to love Him and love our neighbor. And we'll see that in the third stanza of this song. So let's think about the first stanza. In order to live close to God, we must fight the good fight of the faith. The lyrics of that first line is this. In thy field I would wield sickles, brave and true. In the fight for the right, I would dare and do. Spend my days in thy praise all the journey through. Let me live close to thee each day. So there's an emphasis in this stanza upon fighting the good fight of the faith. And you know, that is certainly a familiar theme in the scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, the apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, he says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And so the Christian has a fight to fight. Now, of course, this is not a carnal fight. This is not something that we engage in a physical fight with people, with fists or with swords or other weapons of that nature. We do not. This is a spiritual fight. It's a battle that we're all undergoing each and every day. And in this battle, we have an enemy, and the enemy is the devil. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the devil has many devices at his use that he tries to bring against us. And that's why we've got to, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 verses 8 and 9, be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We've got to resist the devil. We've got to fight the devil. And that means fighting temptation. That means studying God's word, knowing how to resist the devil. Jesus resisted the devil in Matthew chapter 4, and he did it by quoting the scriptures every single time. He knew the Bible. He knew what it meant to resist the devil. And that's what he did. And so in fighting this good fight of the faith, we resist the devil. And fighting this good fight of the faith, we understand that the fight is in the area of ideas and knowledge and arguments in thinking about right and wrong. For though we walk in the flesh, Paul says, we do not war according to the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Notice, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So this is a spiritual battle. It's a mental battle. It's a battle of thoughts. It's a battle of ideas. It's a battle of arguments. And we've got to be involved in this battle. If we don't win the battle of ideas, then we are going to lose the fight. We're going to lose the fight for our families. We're going to lose the fight for the church. We're going to lose the fight for the people of this world if we don't engage in this battle of ideas. Yes, it is a fight, and we've got to uphold the ideas that Jesus Christ brought. And so that's why the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Of course, that whole armor of God is spiritual in nature. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. These are spiritual things that we use to fight the good fight of the faith. And so as we think about this song, let us live close to thee. First of all, in order to live close to God, we've got to fight the good fight of the faith by resisting the devil and taking up the whole armor of God. But then secondly, to live close to the Lord, we've got to work. We've got to work for the Lord with humility. Look at this second stanza here. Not the crown nor renown that the world might see, I would work, never shirk, blessed Lord, for thee. But to know where I go, that my soul is free, let me live close to thee each day. And so it's not about what the world thinks of us. It's not about showing off to the world and getting their attention and getting their accolades and their applause. No, it's not about the world. It's about the Lord. It's about working for the Lord, doing things for his applause, doing things so that he gives us approval and understanding that working for him is going to have its eternal rewards. When we think about working and thinking about humility, you know, this is not the kind of work that gets attention. This is the kind of work that is done quietly, it's done humbly, and it's done submissively to the Lord's will. James chapter 4 and verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's the Lord's sight that we're concerned about. It's not man's sight. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It's not people that we want to exalt us. It's God that we want to exalt us. And so we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, not under the hand of man. When we think about working, Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 through 24 comes to mind. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Well, think about that for a minute. When we are working, when we are out there doing the Lord's work, whether it is doing the jobs that we do on a daily basis, whether it's taking care of our family, whether it is interacting with people in the community, we should be thinking about the Lord's work every time we go to those places. And when we're doing those things, we are working for the Lord, not for men, because it's the Lord who's going to give us the inheritance. It's the Lord who makes our work meaningful. Do you realize that? That without the Lord, our work doesn't mean a single thing. It's only the Lord who makes that work mean something. We serve the Lord Christ. And so when we're out there working, we shouldn't feel like, oh, woe is me. I have to go to work. It's a Monday morning. How terrible that is. No, I get to go to work. I get to work for God. I get to do things in this world for Him. You see, that's the attitude that we need to have as Christians. Now, people will see that attitude and they will begin to understand, hey, something's different about this person. And you say, well, why is that? Because they're not all moody, you know, on Monday morning when everybody's coming to work. They're all happy and stuff. Why are they like that? Well, because they know who they're working for. They're who they're really working for. And that is the Lord. So let's think about that. Let's put that into practice. Let's live close to Him every day and work for Him. James 1 verse 25 says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Notice the blessing comes from doing the work. We don't get the blessing before the work. We get the blessing after the work. So many people get that backwards. They want the blessing first, and then they'll do the work. God says, no, the work comes first, and then the blessing. We need to think about working for the Lord and living closer to the Lord. If we're working for the Lord, then we're going to get closer to Him. James also says, James chapter 2, verse 18, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, he says, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, because when we're working for the Lord, we are demonstrating our faith to others. And we're showing them that we're truly believers in Jesus Christ. And we really are seeking to please Him. And that's going to create some attention on other people's part. And they're going to see that. And they're going to notice. And they're going to want to know more about our faith. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes these words. Let him who stole steal no more or no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And so God wants us to work. He wants us to be able to get something so that we can give something. And in doing that, we are able to aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, and to work with our own hands. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. And so, if we want to live closer to the Lord, let's do the Lord's work in humility. And then finally, living closer to God means loving God and loving our neighbor. Now look at this final stanza here. It says, help me bear and to share some poor pilgrim's load. Be my friend to the end of the toilsome road. I would sing to my King in the soul's abode. Let me live close to thee each day. And so here's loving God and loving our neighbor. Now he starts with loving our neighbor here. That is bearing and sharing someone else's load. The problems that we have in life sometimes are too much for us to handle. And we need others to help us in those situations. And God is telling us that as Christians, we need to be involved in helping other people. And then the singer says, be my friend. Again, this is a prayer to God, and he's asking God to be his friend to the end of this toilsome road. And then notice the relationship with God is emphasized. I would sing to my King in the soul's abode, because we are on a journey, and we have a destination in mind, and we're trying to reach that place. And so living close to the Lord, you see, involves helping others and letting God help us. And that means we must love our neighbor as ourselves and love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Galatians 5 and verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5 and verse 14. Everything that we do as Christians involves either loving God or loving our neighbor. And when we love our neighbor as we do, we are bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us. You see, that's what Christ did. He bore our burdens. He bore our sins on the cross so that we might be forgiven and have hope of eternal life. And so he asks us then to help others, to bear their burdens. Sometimes that looks like giving a bottle of water to someone who's thirsty. Sometimes it looks like talking to someone about their spiritual problems that they have in their life. There's a lot of different ways we can demonstrate this, but are we bearing each other's burdens? And then James chapter 1, verse 27 talks about some specific ways that we can do that. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I like to think about James saying this in terms of what he's talking about here is, let's not neglect the neglected. Let's pay attention to those who have very specific needs and who are alone in this world in a lot of ways. And widows and orphans are in that group. But then also we have those who are spiritually in trouble and have gone away from the truth. We need to reach out to them. James talks about that at the end of the book of James. And there's many others. But here are some special areas that we can focus on. And working to encourage, working to keep others faithful to the Lord, working to bring new people into the church, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Because look, that is a very essential component of living close to the Lord. If we don't keep ourselves unspotted from the world, then guess what? We're not making any difference in the world, because we're just like the world if we don't keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And the world's going to see that and go, oh, he's just like me, or she's just like me. Why do I need to change? Why do I need to be different? So let's practice pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father. Let's focus on our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. And let's think about living close to him. In Hebrews 13 and verse 6, we read, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased when we help other people. God is pleased when we make sacrifices so that we can share with other people. James 5, verse 19, a verse I alluded to earlier. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. And so as we think about helping other people, we're not just talking about the physical needs. We're talking about the spiritual needs also. Remember what Jesus said about the shepherd who went, and he left the 99, and he went into the wilderness to seek the one sheep that went astray so that he could bring him back, right? Everyone is important. Everyone is needed. God wants all in his kingdom. And there are none that are unimportant. Acts 2 and verses 44 through 45 emphasizes this point. It says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." The church in the first century took care of each other. If they needed money, they would go out and sell something so that they could have it to give to those who had need. Now that's a high standard. Are we reflecting those values? Oh yes, it's easy to say love your neighbor and smile and wave, right? But it's hard to love your neighbor when you've got to sacrifice something of your own so that you can love your neighbor. Now let's think about that, because God is calling us to that. He's calling us to love our neighbor and to love him. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. We must love God. We must love our neighbor. That is part of getting closer to the Lord. The chorus of this song, "Let me live close to thee. Take my hand, dear Lord, and guide me all along the way, the rugged way. Oh, let me live close to thee. Let me walk and talk with thee, dear Lord, each day." Do we mean what we sing? When we sang that song, did we really mean, I want to be closer to the Lord. I want to live closer to the Lord. I want to fight the good fight of the faith. I would wield that sickle. I would take up the shield of faith. Do we really mean that? Are we really interested in doing the Lord's work in humility? Are we dedicating our lives to it? Are we working for him? Are we truly loving God and one another and making the sacrifices that we need to make in order to show that? Let me live close to thee. Do we really mean it? Are we really singing that song with sincerity? Let's think about these lyrics of the words that we sing, and let's really live them out within our lives. Now, everyone can improve. Everyone can do better. And so let's resolve to go from this assembly this morning thinking, you know what? I'm going to live closer to the Lord. I'm going to bring my life nearer to him. And we've talked about how we can do that this morning. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church to help you do that. And you'd like to ask for those prayers this morning. We'd be happy to pray with you. Or maybe you haven't been living for the Lord at all, but your own selfish interests. And this morning you think, you know what? I really need to make a change in my life. I really need to start living for the Lord. I need to become a child of God. Well, we can help you with that through hearing the gospel and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can start living closer to the Lord right now, loving him as he wants you to love him by obeying his holy will. And so if you need to make a change in your life today, we're happy to help you with that. Just as the Bible says, we want to help you. We want to love you as we're supposed to love our neighbor. And so whatever your need may be, if you'd like to come and make that known right now, you can do so. While together we stand and while we sing.